Making America Smart Again. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger. Are you tired of your boss stealing from your paycheck to send to a government that's writing checks its body can't cash? It's the government's worst nightmare. Dave Krieger.
Okay, we are back on this Thursday. For those of you that were paying somewhat close attention to what was going on in D.C. yesterday, you would have seen Marco Rubio and Pam Bondi and John Ratcliffe and others going through the motions with the Senate. And like I said, going through the motions is exactly what it was. I found the exchange in Pam Bondi's situation most amusing. Because, you know, depending on which media source you look at, Blaze Media versus Tucker versus Epoch Times versus whatever alt media you prefer, I'm pretty much done with the garbage that Reuters portrays. You know, all their people say, yes, he's got a degree in journalism and he's fair and unbiased. Really? He acts like every other serious guy out there that's part of the mainstream media, the commentators for Reuters. So, and you have to understand that Reuters is owned by Thomson Reuters, which also owns Westlaw, and Westlaw publishes all the court cases. And you'd be hard pressed to find any court case that benefits consumers published in Westlaw. It always publishes stuff that benefits the banks. Seriously. It's been challenged before by attorneys all across the board, too, because it is reluctant to publish winning cases where the homeowners or whoever, consumer-affected public, goes and files cases. It's one of those things. But see, Pam Bondi's testimony was really funny when it got to the Schiff show. I'm talking about Adam Schiff of California, who's just been sworn in. Because the voters out there apparently don't care if this guy is a pathological liar or not. They vote him in. Because they got to keep their Democratic edge and they need a Democratic radical in the Senate in order to maintain that edge. So Schiff starts into Pam Bondi in the Attorney General, you know, Senate confirmation hearings. Of course, now this is going to take place, of course, after Trump is sworn in, because that's technically when the real serious negotiations with people take place, is after the swearing in of Trump. But depending on who you talk to, it's like Pam Bondi, here's the headline from Blaze Media, is Rebecca Zeljo. Pam Bondi lays a landmine for Adam Schiff during confirmation hearing. She lays a landmine. I would have preferred the headline, Pam Bondi lays a turd for Adam Schiff, because takes one to know one. You know, you smell, you know what? You smell caca. That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. And you want to talk about a pot calling the kettle black? Hear Adam Schiff and all these other Democrats, and it's only from the Democrats. Because, of course, you had John Kennedy of Louisiana up there with his stuff he's talking about, you know, that he talks in that modus operandi, trying to be funny. Yeah. Sorry about that, but the funny was not just, you know, in making Pam Bondi laugh during the hearings, but it was when Schiff and other Democrats get up there and start interrupting her when she's trying to answer a question, and they're so worried about her going after Liz Cheney and all the people on the J6 committee, and Bondi is like, oh, I won't play politics like you did leaking your colleague Devin Nunes' memo. I mean, that's what she told Schiff. I mean, seriously, they insinuated that she's going to do the same thing the Democrats did, which goes right back to the old saying that these folks on the Democrat side like to point fingers at Republicans and accuse them of stuff that they themselves are doing. I think we've all figured that out. We all recognize them. And half the media, half the mainstream media out there is looking at 59-year-old Pam Bondi, you know, blonde. That's why I call her Pam Blondie. Sorry. My lovely wife said I shouldn't call her Pam Blondie. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. But here's the thing. Half the mainstream media out there is, how does she look so good? Did she have plastic surgery? You see how crazy this gets? And then they want to know exactly what did she do? Because they're so worried about weaponization of the DOJ. They're worried about what Bondi's going to do to them that Garland has done to GOP people for the last 4 years. And Trump. You know, what are we going to do here? Are we going to go after all the people that went after Trump? Are we going to go after the J6 committee? And they're so worried about Liz Cheney. It's like, man, what did Liz Cheney do to get Adam Schiff's endorsements and praise? I mean, other than being on the same committee, going after Trump and all the J6ers. You know, is it possible that Liz Cheney actually had a conversation with Cassidy Hutchinson before she testified? I mean, seriously, was there an issue? I don't think that, you know, because Pam Bondi said she was going to follow the law. And it's like, what are you so worried about, Mr. Schiff? Senator, what are you worried about, Senator? You afraid I'm going to do the same thing to you? Turnabout's fair play? Is that what you're getting at? See, they were trying to get her to break out of her shell and go after him. That's why they kept interrupting her, because they were trying to piss her off and get her to come forward and start yelling back at them and calling them a bunch of scumbags that are going to get theirs when she gets in office. That's exactly what they wanted. And she didn't play into it. Oh, no, she's smarter than they give her credit for. Trust me. She's not some dumb blonde, okay? You know, I understand that completely. But what's really funny is that everybody is actually paying attention to that. And like I said, I didn't even watch the hearings, but I was just I'm making fun of the media reports out there, because it seems like the media is beside itself when it comes to the stuff that's going on in D.C. Oh, you got to love that. All right, let's look at some business headlines here. For those of you that like candy corn, well, guess what? It's now officially enemy of the state, and the reason is the FDA has banned Red 3. This is a dye often used to color candy corn and other foods like in indigestible drugs like cough syrup over linked to cancer in male lab rats. Ooh, gee, male lab rats. I wonder what kind of cancer they're talking about. Erythrosine is what it's called. It's a dye, FDNC, red number 3. It gives products a bright red coloring, okay? And it's been allowed in U.S. food and drink production for the last 50 years, even though it's been pretty much banned over in Europe because they woke up a long time ago and said, hey, we can't allow all this. Items like the very apparent Ring Pops and Double Bubble Gumballs, they all have red number 3, as do Vibrant Treats, Nesquik Strawberry Low-Fat Milk, remember that? And Morningstar Farms Veggie Bacon Strips. Bacon, 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 yeah. The fight was a long one. In 1990, the FDA decided the dye couldn't be used to make cosmetics or topical drugs due to its potentially carcinogenic properties. And so they basically said, okay, we're going to take it out of some, but not all. Anti-dye advocates shifted public sentiment. California, the first, of course, to ban the dye in 2023, followed by Tennessee, Arkansas, and Indiana. All have since filed proposals to limit the dye's use. And so what are food manufacturers doing right now? Well, first off, they've been given until 2027. A number of them saw the writing on the wall already, and they've started replacing red number 3 in products with beet juice, carmine, and other natural products. Beet juice, you gotta love that. Borscht, comrade. Yeah, so the FDA finally did something right, huh? Saving consumers from carcinogenic products. Gee, I mean, what, they didn't get enough deaths with the jabs? And so now they're starting to attack other things? you gotta love that. You know, what's really funny also is that Biden damn near fell asleep during the entire final speech of his career. And I don't think he's going to stay in politics after this. I think he and Jill are going to go back to Delaware and sit in their little mansion and pout that they got ousted, that they weren't, you know, Nancy Pelosi and all the other Democrats out there and oh, Shamalama Bama Ding Dong decided that they weren't going to be able to run. You know, they didn't want him running again. The guy is a nutcase and we can't have him in the White House because it'd be too obvious who's really running the administration, right? And then Biden goes out there and does the old braggadocio talking about, oh, yes, I created peace in the Middle East. And What I call is, because they basically want to kick the Gazans out. And for those of you who know the term, the Louisiana French law term, it's called jacketation, which means ejection. Yeah, premature jacketation. That's what I call it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282, a trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, we are back. 18 minutes after the hour. Joanne Fabric, remember them? They have a craft store, fabric store. A lot of people that like to do their own thing, the DIY seamstresses out there like to go to Joanne Fabric. Well, they filed for bankruptcy for the second time in a year. Apparently the first Chapter 11 wasn't enough. The 82-year-old chain, which has more than 800 locations across the U.S., filed bankruptcy protection. That would be Chapter 11, of course, because they're that big, for the first time in March of 2024. And, of course, for the second time in the past year, they're blaming slow sales, inventory issues, and being hundreds of millions of dollars in debt. $615 million, basically, and it left it in an untenable position. So according to officials from the company, they filed this Chapter 11 yesterday in the bankruptcy court for the U.S. District of Delaware to facilitate a sale process to maximize the value of the business. They are seeking a sale of substantially all of its assets with Gordon Brothers Retail Partners, which bought much of the Big Lots up in December to save them from closing hundreds of stores as the stalking horse bidder at an undisclosed price. If Joanne gets a better offer at a public auction, it could sell itself to another buyer. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get subsumed by somebody else so it can alleviate some of that debt. See, that's what Chapter 11 is for those of you who don't understand bankruptcy. It's much the same as a Chapter 13 for individuals. Now, here's the thing that people don't understand about bankruptcy, and I'm going to touch on this because this is all of a sudden becoming a big issue with people, especially if they're in foreclosure. One of the first things they want to do is they want to run to bankruptcy court. Don't do that! There are so many ways to stay in your house for at least 2 years while you sit there and make it untenable for the lender. See, a Chapter 11 bankruptcy allows businesses to go in and reorganize, right? It allows them to come out smelling like a rose. Well, obviously in this case, Joanne Fabric and Crafts has not made a dent. They got more than 800 locations across the United States, and they're trying to keep them open because they know that there are people out there. There is a market for it because a lot of people who can't afford to go out and buy all that brand name stuff at Walmart and other stores, you know, these mall shops that, you know, thought they were going to do so well. Even the malls are suffering right now, and a lot of them are turning into these little mini condo units like the Domain in Austin, Texas, where they have all the posh Fifth Avenue type stores. And, of course, then, you know, they have all the apartments and condos and stuff that are above the stores where people live, so they can just, you know, walk downstairs and go shopping and then have buttered scones for tea. Yeah. No, isn't that wonderful? Yes, all the upscale people with their noses in the air. Okay, yeah, I know. Enough of that. Well, you see, here's the thing. Chapter 13 bankruptcy is the same kind of thing. as Chapter 11. Because, see, in Chapter 11, you know, they declared they have $615 million in debt, right? So what they're claiming in the Chapter 11 is they may owe these people something. That's the same thing in Chapter 13 when you file a Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Now, I can't give you legal advice, but you go to any law firm website right now that deals in bankruptcy and ask them, what's a Chapter 13? It means that if you file a Chapter 13, which they call a wage earners, it means, yeah, you get protection for 60 months, but it also means you owe somebody. Well, what if you don't? What if you got a mortgage that was in the MERS system that was converted into a security and the note was canceled? According to the Internal Revenue Code, it was realigned and it became a security, so the character and status of the debt changed. What happens then? You know, do you actually owe the debt? Or they make, I mean, they've already made money off of your loan when they securitized the paper, because that was securitized at the point in time you submitted your loan application before you went to closing. I got people out there right now that are saying, hey, I never closed my loan. I never consummated the deal. You know, I never saw any funding of anything. Yet all of a sudden my loan is out there and they've made money off of it. You see, that's how this whole thing works. And so when they file a Chapter 13 and they list the creditor as unsecured, oh, the bankruptcy trustee and the court can't have that. Oh, no, you need to change to Chapter 13 because we know you owe somebody. You have a mortgage. You have a house. You know, you must have borrowed money for that, and so borrowed money. This is what bothers me about borrowing money, because it's M2. That's what it is. You know what M2 is? Yeah. M1 is cash and currency. M2 is checks. You know, M3 is credit. They pull it out of thin air. You know, if you haven't read Modern Money Mechanics, you probably should, okay? But I just wanted to point out the differences and similarities between a Chapter 11, which is for businesses and people that have more than $1.3 million worth of debt, and a Chapter 13, which is for people who basically are us peons out there who think that we owe somebody. But you have to understand that credit card debt was securitized as well. Yeah, so are car loans, so are student loans, yet we go out there and we say that we owe somebody because they've got us convinced that that is so. I really think people need to get an education on what constitutes a security and investigate before they start filing bankruptcy whether or not their loan or whatever it was that they allegedly got, paper, you know, created out of thin air they're paying interest on, 24.7, whatever the usury limits will allow, and whether or not these things are actually legit before they go filing bankruptcy and screw up their credit for 10 years. Of course, now, you know, people have used my credit restoration primer to get rid of bankruptcies off their credit reports, but hey, whatever. The Department of Transportation all of a sudden got a conscience and filed a lawsuit yesterday against Southwest Airlines, accusing the carrier of operating chronically late flights because of unrealistic scheduling. You know, see, that's how the carriers make money. They rack them up, stack them up, yep. And the DOT also said $650,000 fine for Frontier Airlines over late arrivals. This looks like part of a larger crackdown since the department recently issued its first ever fine against JetBlue over similar allegations. Well, you gotta love that, don't you? Yeah, let's go beat up on the airlines and make it look like we're doing something. The SEC, of course, here's another one that's gonna be challenged. They filed a lawsuit against billionaire Elon Musk, accusing him of violating securities law by failing to disclose his active stake in Twitter, which allowed him to purchase shares at artificially low prices. The lack of transparency, according to the SEC, enabled Musk to underpay for Twitter shares by at least $150 million. So now why is it they're going after Musk? Well, because he's endorsing Trump. Now understand that this is Biden's SEC. And as soon as Trump is sworn in, the head of the SEC, Gary Gensler, is going to step down. Oh, I bet you saw that one coming, right? Yeah, I know. Did you see the Biden speech, by the way? He almost fell asleep. His parting gift to the American people was inflation accelerated in December. Consumer prices climbed at a faster rate, capping off the inflation-plagued Biden administration's final year, suggesting the Fed's efforts to bring down inflation may have run out of steam. And it's no wonder, because, I mean, you look at the higher costs for eggs and groceries. I mean, have you priced a dozen eggs lately? It's about $7.25 a dozen for decent eggs. Makes you just want to run down to the farmer's market and buy their eggs because it's probably not contaminated with all the gobbledygook that commercial egg layers and egg producers do. You know, they load them up with antibiotics and all sorts of other garbage. Fatten up those hens for slaughter, or those, you know, chickens and poults for slaughter. 4.4% jump in gasoline prices. Have you noticed that? Yeah, core inflation strips out the volatile food and energy categories and offered a somewhat more optimistic view. See, they can take the stats and say and do whatever they want. And the mainstream media lays this out like pablum, like baby food. And people just, you know, they consume it. And they think, all right, everything's fine. Yeah, let's just keep voting those Democrats back in there and see, you know. Oh, by the way, suppose they gave a war and nobody came. Well, I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen down in Puerto Rico. Socialist dictator of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, is threatening to use Brazilian troops to liberate Puerto Rico from the U.S. colonization in remarks over the weekend last weekend. He has been sworn in for what officials claim is his third fraudulently obtained six-year presidential term. And now he wants to do something bold, under the guise of fighting fascism, by invading Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico's governor is like throwing the flag up to Trump going, hey, down here, we need help. He's going to send Brazilian troops over here to invade us. We got to do something about this. What do you think we ought to do to Nicolas Maduro? I mean, you understand that we have the power right now. If we were going to do what the Chinese have been doing to us with these directed energy weapons, you realize we have the power and we have the technology to go down there and literally shut off the lights and the juice to Venezuela so that they can't move and they can't communicate. You know, this guy doesn't realize who he's picking a fight with. This almost reminds me of the book The Mouse That Roared, right? And of course, those of you going to Starbucks, they have reversed their open door policy. Open door meaning the open bathroom door. They had a toilet free-for-all policy, so, hey, wait a minute, there's a Starbucks, I gotta take a whiz, come on, pull over, let's run in there. And yeah, they don't bother getting a coffee, they don't bother getting a croissant, or any of the other stuff that they do, that butter-lace croissant, or a latte with 15 different combinations of this, that, and the other that all of those woke people do. You know, they don't want to sit in their car and go through one of these long drive-throughs, you know. So, in order to improve the cafe experience, now, they're going to end the free-for-all policy. You have to get a code to use the bathroom. In order to do that, you got to buy something. Amazing how that works and a way to boost profits. Just shut off the head. I get it. We'll be back with Greg Wrightstone after the break. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, we're back after the break. Gregory Wrightstone is a geologist and executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He is the best-selling author of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity, and another Inconvenient Facts, The Science That Al Gore, he invented the internet, of course, as you know, Greg. He doesn't want you to know. And this, of course, is an Inconvenient Facts book that Gregory Wrightstone, who joins us here on the Krieger Files, has drafted. Here's the thing. You know, he's put out a recent blurb about the California wildfires. And the thing is that with the UN court, Alex Newman's just reporting, and we've had Alex on the show, too, the UN court wants to issue a landmark ruling on climate change. It's trying to fight CO2 emissions, but hey. Yeah.
The more CO2, the better for plants and crops. And my latest book, you mentioned my first one, my latest book was just published. It's called A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. That's right. You heard it right. By almost every metric we look at, Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and the human condition's improving. I call it the greatest untold story of the 21st century, that of a thriving planet. And it's completely different, completely at odds and opposite to what you're being told. You're being told that more CO2 is terrible and it's leading to a climate crisis, and nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, just the opposite. is occurring. So our unofficial motto here at the CO2 Coalition is we love CO2 and so should you.
I love it. This is the thing about CO2. Now they want to trap it in pipelines. And I'm just like, seriously, what is going on here? Unless they're going to use this stuff and trap it and funnel it into their underground warehouses to help the plants grow. I mean, they give off oxygen and that's what we need to breathe. And of course, if we start killing off our crops and poisoning our soils. And I mean, you're basically involved. The CO2 situation that with the coalition that you have in Arlington, Virginia, this is just more than just CO2. I mean, this is all about climate change. This is stuff that we've been pimped on this climate change thing by Democrat administrations. This is all political. It is not scientific at all. I mean, the science has been distorted. That would be a fair statement.
Oh, absolutely. We learned a lot, didn't we, from the COVID era and what we learned during COVID. We learned that often the experts can be wrong, and even worse, sometimes the experts can actually intentionally mislead us and give us disinformation or misinformation. We learned that. We learned that a lot of the science they rely on to mask up and social distance and the transmission, we learned it just wasn't so. Well, I tell you what, in the climate change discussion, it's much, much, much worse than we ever saw in the COVID era, in the COVID discussions, just misuse of science. And it's, as a scientist, I find it terribly troubling for me that we have scientists that don't follow the scientific method, and what they're doing. When in fact, they always rely on a consensus, don't they? One of my favorite quotes was from Richard Feynman, the noted physicist. He, on consensus, he said, "I would rather have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned." And that's what we have in this climate change debate. They're telling us what the answer is, and you dare not disagree with this conclusion of the climate industrial complex. That more CO2 is driving unusual and unprecedented warming and leading to droughts and floods and fires and too much snow, not enough snow. You name it. If it's too cold, it's climate change. If it's too hot, it's climate change. No matter what it is, they push it back and say it's because of our emissions of CO2, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, then they say that global warming, I mean, that's the thing. That's your extreme on one end because of the fact that we've got a polar vortex that's now penetrated most of the United States and sent our temperatures over the weekend coming up into the teens across most of the country, in addition to the snow and the bad weather and the icing conditions and everything. But they blame that. They can't blame that on global warming, of course, but, you know, climate change.
Yeah, they'll try.
And this is the thing that we have to emphasize, folks, is you cannot buy into the lies of all of these people in the mainstream media. And this is one of the reasons, I think, in part, that people are not trusting the mainstream media anymore, because they keep proliferating these lies throughout their system. And people are getting sick and tired of it because they walk outside and they're freezing their butts off and they know exactly what's going on here. How could you? I mean, if you're on the virtue of an ice age, I mean, what are we talking about here? Climate change and global warming. You guys are lying to us. You're not telling us the whole story. And I think, like COVID, you brought that up with the jabs and everything else. I think people are just waking up to what the real truth is, and they're not buying it anymore, especially this garbage that's going on in L.A. right now with Pacific Palisades and the winds picking up and everything else. And now they're trying to blame that on climate change, too. But really, I think that's just mismanagement, don't you?
Yeah, for the most part. Well, it's a natural occurrence. Fires have always happened in that area. The Santa Ana winds, which were they're the main reason we had those terrible fires, but it happens every year. Some years, this is one of the worst in more than a decade, the Santa Ana winds. The intensity got to almost 100 miles an hour, and all it takes is a spark. Of course, with those high winds, there are electric lines coming down right and left, and transformers exploding, and whatever the reason is, there are three things you need for a wildfire, and that's intense dryness, usually heat, but not necessary. But you need a spark. You need fuel. And that's what we have here. The, the spark is from our electrical grid. It's from our, we're seeing that homeless now are responsible for at least 50% of, over the last several years, it's been documented, of fires in California. So these are just homeless people out there. Just, I don't know why they do it, but you know, who's to say why they're doing it, but they are. But these Santa Ana winds originate up in the cold, high deserts of Nevada. And there's usually a high pressure zone, which we saw over there. And then when a low pressure center develops in the Pacific, west of LA, that's just sucking that cold air. And as it's coming down from the high elevations, it begins to heat and dry out and it gains speed. These winds, they're called Santa Ana, the winds there. A little bit further south are the Diablo winds, or we saw it at Hawaii a few years ago at Lahaina. There's the same situation with, they're called Lahaina winds. These winds come down. Even if they had all the water in the world, I'm not so sure they could have really put a big dent into the main conflagration there. Cause it was just fueled by these high winds. And one of the big situations we saw in California, they're claiming now because of climate change, it's drought, it's heat waves, it's this and that. Well, we've had actually almost 2 years of above average rainfall in that area. And that's led to an increase in the grasses and from the brush. And so we've got this huge increase of the material of the tinder, that the fires need to get started and move. This was very predictable. They needed to clear out that brush and particularly the grasses, and clear those out. The worst culprit in the West is called cheatgrass. It's an invasive species, and it's pretty much ubiquitous to the all of the West Coast. It's called cheatgrass because it comes up, it sprouts first in the spring, before the regular native grasses come up, and it cheats them out, and hence the name cheatgrass. And a lot of these fires in the West are primarily not forest fires. They're grass fires, and they're easy to light. If you remember, if you're a Boy Scout, you know, you want to start with some small twigs. That's what we have here. And, you know, you want to start. And so our recent commentary by Jim Steele, our fire expert from San Diego, he talks about 1 hour fuels and 10 hour fuels. And these grasses and shrubs are what he calls the 1 hour fuels. You could have rain one day. It can stop these hot, dry winds come through and it'll dry out that wet grass and the wet brush in less than an hour. The 10 hour twigs are the bigger ones, a little bit, you know, the larger, diameter, branches and things, but they can dry out in a period of 10 hours. So you could have rained the day before and then have dry conditions the next.
And then you get the conflagration because the dry conditions, all of a sudden, the 1 hour stuff catches fire and it starts drying out and messing with the 10 hour stuff. And next thing you know, you've got a huge wildfire on your hands. Gregory Wrightstone is going to join us after the break here on the Krieger Files. We will be right back. Stay with us. Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner, good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, we're back with Gregory Wrightstone. He's a geologist, executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He's put out a new book called A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. He also is the author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know. So we've been talking about the California fires, and here's the thing. There are a lot of similarities between Maui and California, which a lot of people have been, you know, blowing up my inbox and saying, hey, Dave, did you notice that there are blue roofs there in the areas that were affected in Maui, as well as the umbrellas? And then all of a sudden now you go to California and here's these charred vehicles that are sitting outside people's homes that look just like they might have been hit with directed energy weapons. And I'm like, you know, I get it. The fact that China and the United States have had this technology for a long time and they admit they've had it. But as far as, you know, how does the CO2 coalition treat news like that or suspicions like that, Greg?
It's just ridiculous. I don't have time to respond to, no, it's just, it's, when you talk about conspiracy theories, I know a lot of what used to be called conspiracy theories have turned out to be true, but it's just, they're talking about HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, High Altitude Atmospheric Research Project. And actually our chair was part of that, William Happer, and we talked about this. It's completely, completely ridiculous. We might as, you know, it's the same people that confuse contrails with chemtrails, and go searching for the Loch Ness Monster. Your time's better spent actually applying science and facts and data. No. So the answer is it's completely untrue, and to even talk about it, it demeans the conversation to come into this kind of just crazy talk. No, it's nature. HAARP, there were terrible fires at Lahaina over 100 years ago that destroyed that village. Was that HAARP? No. What about all the fires in California over the last several thousand years? Similar things have happened. It's a high wind, 100-mile-an-hour winds, too much fuel, and incompetence at every level of government, from local to state to federal. What they need to do, there are things we can do to protect the people there. Primarily, we need to have better management of both our forests and our grasslands. And one example I like to use, I moved from Pittsburgh a few years ago to Florida, and in Pittsburgh, they have Mount Washington. It's the iconic high ridge mountain along with the iconic views of Pittsburgh, you might see. And it was very steep and it was brush. They had some fires there. Well, they got a guy with a herd of goats, 20 or 30 goats. They bring them in, let them graze for a few weeks, come pick them back. And it's a great organic way that's very cheap, to cut that brush down, to cut the grasses down. That's just one idea. We can't do it for the whole West. But they could go back to the pre-80s forest management of using controlled burns and logging. The Sierra Nevada Conservancy tells us that in the Sierra Nevadas there are 4 to 5 times too many trees per acre as a healthy forest would have. And what does that mean? Every fire has 4 to 5 times as much fuel as what it normally should have, so it's more intense. They stop logging, so now the logging roads that the firefighters used to be able to get equipment are grown up, and they can't do the only way to access fires now in these forested areas is airdrops. So they can't effectively fight the fires. And then just think about this. If you have 4 to 5 times too many trees per acre, each one of those trees are now competing for the same scarce soil moisture otherwise. So actually too many trees and too much adds to the aridity and a lack of soil moisture. So all these things combined lead to an increase in fires across the West. And again, we got these invasive grasses like cheatgrass. But we see the same thing in the eastern United States with the invasive Japanese stilt grass. At some point, if we have a drought in the eastern United States, we might be able to see intense grass fires like they have out in California just recently. But fortunately, most of the East is pretty wet most of the year.
That's interesting you would say that, because I remember when we were, my lovely wife and I were living in Bastrop, Texas, they had an issue with the winds and power lines snapping because of the fact that they weren't trimming trees out of the easements that these power companies have. And of course, that sparked a fire that took out several homes and 33,600 acres of, land in Bastrop County. And our house was about a mile and a half from the fire line. And so we evacuated to Austin for about a week as they battled that thing. But of course, then again, they blamed Bluebonnet Electric's power lines as being the cause of it all. And Pacific Gas and Electric, I guess, is now, even though they have experience with this 2018 campfire that killed 85 people, they now are back in the hot seat again, aren't they?
They are. And again, just think back. If you recall, 8 years ago, Donald Trump, when he was entering office, he talked about there were fires going on at that time. And he says, just get out with your rake and rake up your dead leaves, get rid of them. And they mocked him mercilessly. And that's actually, he was right, as he is about so many things, the thing you need to clean up around your home. In fact, I had an interview with a TV or radio host out in Reno, and she was livid. Her HOA says they forbid the residents from raking up, of course, they've got ponderosa pines, the pine needles from around their homes. Well, the pine needles are just as bad as the grasses. And she was livid. She says, I said, what did you do? She says, I raked them up. I'm not going to have fire sweeping through around my home. But again, it's just stupid things like this. They're doing, it's virtue signaling, of the people in charge, of these, for example, her HOA. Don't clean up the grass. Don't clean up the pine needles. No.
It boggles the mind, Gregory Wrightstone, because this is a real serious issue, and that's part of management. And for the HOA not to understand that, because they think that, well, all these falling pine needles and whatnot are going to fertilize the soil, but they don't realize that these things, once you get, dry winds and whatnot, and you set a match to any of these things. I see neighbors out, and they're raking up stuff like this all the time. And I've got a whole stand of pine trees where I'm at. And, they're on the opposite side of the fence. And you would think that, well, maybe this isn't going to be a situation where I'm at in the middle of the country. But, I mean, with the Bastrop fires and the fact that, I think that the electric companies, utility companies need to be paying closer attention to, their grid and how they're managing these things, not just for the sake of, making the grid a little bit more reinforced, but also to prevent issues like this from happening.
Yeah. And it would a stark contrast, isn't it, between the hurricane preparedness exhibited by Florida and Governor DeSantis there. And that lack of preparedness that we just saw in these fires, we knew the hurricane was coming. Again, I'm located just south of Tampa. And we evacuated from, the west side of Florida to the east side of Florida. On the way, I drove by two different huge fields where they had pre-positioned electric trucks, had come down from many of the states from the north. And they're all sitting there just waiting for the hurricane to hit and ready. When they got the go order, they went. And we had, I didn't think our electric, where we were, I didn't think we were going to have it back on in 2 or 3 weeks. It was out less than 48 hours. They had it up and running. It was incredible because it was prior planning. They knew what was coming for the most part. They knew what to expect and what they needed to do afterwards. We saw none of that at LA. In fact, I talk about incompetence from state, local, and the federal levels.
So it is all political, though.
Yeah, it's so political, and just you wait. Next week, we talked about this cold that's coming. I looked on my weather app this morning. They're predicting zero, a low of zero here in the D.C. area. Tuesday morning for the inauguration. My prediction is they're not going to have the inauguration outside. They did it I believe it was 85 with Ronald Reagan, where it got down into the single digits. They moved everything inside. But it's going to be cold, cold, cold. But you know what they're going to do? This is climate. It's cold because of climate change. They're calling it climate whiplash. Is caused by, that's what they're calling a climate whiplash. It goes from too cold to too hot to too wet to too dry. We've never seen anything like that before, ever. Well, that's just not the case. And that's what we do here at the CO2 Coalition. We look at the long-term data. We look at the actual facts to show that heat waves have actually been in decline for more than 90 years. They peaked, the heat waves peaked in the 1930s, much, much worse. Things like hurricanes and tornadoes are not, well, tornadoes are definitely declining.
Yeah, that's interesting that that would happen as well. And that's something I wish we had time to discuss, but we're out of time for today's show. Gregory Wrightstone, thanks for shedding some light on our current situation here. And,
Thank you. Of course,
you know, Amazon.com, I guess, carries your books. And so people need to go over there if you want to do some more research. In the meantime,
we'll be back. Convenient warming.
Convenient warming, and it'll be there. All right. Sounds good. Greg, thanks so much for joining
us.
In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. We'll see you tomorrow for our Friday edition.